Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Look, you know, let me just say this to Ed, who I've known for many years, and to the entire Democratic establishment. Let me tell this to Ed, that there are millions of people who are sick and tired of that Democratic establishment. What Ed should know is that a recent poll that came out had me, if I'm not mistaken, 8 points ahead of Trump in Pennsylvania. We've had polls which have me way ahead of him in Michigan and Wisconsin, and in fact, all over this country. Now, the reason that we can beat, that my campaign can beat Donald Trump, is we're going to create the kind of excitement that we need to bring out the large voter turnout. We're going to bring out young people who not only are interested and are going to fight for real climate change, they want to raise that minimum wage to $15 an hour, a fight that I have been helping to lead. They want health care for all through a Medicare for all single payer program. They will understand that it is absurd that young people should be leaving college $50, $60, $100,000 in debt. They want public colleges and universities tuition free. They want criminal justice reform. They want immigration reform. And the truth is that our campaign, I think, can generate that excitement. Our generation can talk to some of the Trump supporters who now know that they were lied to when Trump said he was going to provide health care to everybody and then try to throw 32 million people off the health care. I think we are the campaign that could beat Donald Trump.
Bernie Sanders thinks that he's the campaign that can out Obama. Yep. You know, the Affordable Care Act was a stepping stone to single payer health care, which is why they had to pass a law that said that you have to have health care. And then they penalize you if you don't, because they need the people who normally wouldn't be buying large health care plans, who would be young and healthy. You know, if you're a 25-year-old male, do you need maternity coverage? You probably need something that's not going to break you if you get into a car accident. Mm-hmm. Or if you have to have a hospital stay for a few days or something catastrophic happens, you're going to need help there. But you can't support everybody who's on the system, including the people who can't afford to support themselves. You cannot afford to do that for everybody unless everybody participates. So the government requires you to do this or pay a penalty. And then it goes to the Supreme Court and they say, this is constitutional, but only because it is a tax, which is what they told us the entire time that they were talking about this. You know, they had a pass bill to see what was in it, Nancy. They were telling us the entire time, this is not a new tax. This is not a tax. It's not a tax. It's not a tax. And the Supreme Court says, it's only constitutional if it's a tax. It's a tax. It's constitutional. Here you have it. Well, Bernie Sanders' solution to this is to outdo everything that Obama did. Sorry, Freudian slip. And to put it into where it really needs to be, which is single payer. And the government's going to make all the decisions for you. Again, Bernie Sanders hates the man, the big, evil, capitalist, free market man that's lording itself over you, the little guy. Bernie Sanders is not one of the little guys. And he wants to destroy the man because it's not fair for you to be under the thumb of the man. But what he does not tell you is that he replaces the man with himself and big government, which he wants to be in charge of. Very noble of him. What a giver.
Gosh, what a great guy.
I mean, a taker. It's ridiculous. I want to get to Scott's phone call here real quick. Thanks for holding, Scott.
Hi, Annie.
Hi.
So this, I guess, separation of Chicago from Illinois is a bad idea because it creates a precedent. How many other states are going to want to separate their big cities from them and create these feudal city states?
I don't know. I could probably think of some places in California that would maybe want to do it. And you could probably look around and see other states. I think New Jersey has got a lot of financial trouble as well. But, you know, what are you a Missourian or are you an Illinoisan?
I'm a Missourian.
Okay. So, I mean, the question...
Missouri would want to separate St. Louis and Kansas City.
Do you think St. Louis and Kansas City are as punitive to the non-Kansas City St. Louis resident as Chicago is to the rest of Illinois?
I don't, because the population of St. Louis and Kansas City combined is about equal to the rest of the state. So it's almost a 50-50 split.
Yeah. Yeah, Illinois, I just looked this up before. Chicago has like 2.7 million people, and I think the whole state has over 12 million. So it's close to probably, I don't know, a fourth of the state, maybe 23-24% of the population is in Chicago. To me, it's not in Chicago. It's not just about their Democrats and the rest of us Republicans, because that's not entirely true. To me, it's the corruption that I have a problem with the most.
Well, and on top of that, I think you're going to have an awful hard time getting that through the constitutional process, because, one, it requires the majority of the state legislature to approve it, which is majority Democrat and Chicago controlled.
Is that, that's for the ballot, that's for the ballot measure part, right? Because I think that if you go the United States Constitution route, that would be a little bit different, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
My reading was it requires the constitutional reading says it requires a majority of the legislature to approve it. Then it has to go to Congress itself to approve it.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to find the step-by-step process. BradHelbrook.com is a website I'm going to check for that, and the New Illinois website that he cited as well. And I'm going to see if I can find this, like the actual vocabulary, the step-by-step process to how this would work, because I think it's pretty interesting.
Well, thank you for your time, man.
Yep, Scott, thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. I definitely understand if from the outside looking in how you would be like, well, you know, you can't just separate because you have a political difference. But the way Chicago lords itself over the rest of the state, and the way we don't have a representation in Springfield that really stops it. I mean, look no further than Mike Madigan. Mike Madigan is out of Chicago. If this happened, Mike Madigan is now Chicago's problem or Chicago's hero. He's their hero right now. And you look at it, you look at the amount of corruption that comes out of this state, and it's amazing. I mean, you can go anywhere in the country, and anyone who follows politics would understand what the phrase "the Chicago way" means. And it's sad to me because Chicago is part of my state, and I want to love Chicago. And I do love the city. I have friends and family that are in Chicago. But the corruption, it's crazy. It's absolutely unsustainable. Charles, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, a couple things. I'll just mention Madigan. You talk about him all the time, but he seems to get elected. So, you know, and what do they want to do? Cut Chicago out of the tax base in the state? So people don't have to pay their fair share.
If you're a Democrat and you're in Mike Madigan's district, why wouldn't you reelect him? He gives you everything he wants.
That has nothing to do with it. The guy
has everything to do with it. Charles, he's representing.
You guys don't want to pay taxes, is what it is.
Do you live in Illinois, Charles? What? Do you live in Illinois?
No, I don't.
Well, do you have any idea? No, Charles, stop. Hey, don't call this show and tell me what I do and don't want to do when you don't know what you're talking about. Listen. If you don't understand the tax burden that Illinois taxpayers are facing with absolutely no resolution to fix the thing that's causing the main problem, which means that every tax increase that they pass, if it's a sales tax increase, a property tax increase, an income tax increase, every single tax increase that they pass that doesn't address the actual problem means that that is not the last tax increase you're going to have to endure, which is why people leave and go to Missouri or go to Indiana or go to Wisconsin or anywhere else other than Illinois because it's not sustainable.
Our taxes are almost as bad, not as bad.
That's ridiculous, Charles. You don't know what you're talking about.
I think I do.
Well, go look at reputable economic publications and see where Illinois ranks in all of these. They're in the last 3, 4, 5 states economically in all of them. It's not fiscally sustainable.
But it's what the people want.
But that's the whole point.
You know,
it's not what they want.
No, you guys don't get the right elected official, and you want somebody different.
Well, of course, I want somebody who's going to care about the future of the state and not go by the way of Mike Madigan.
You got to vote him out of office.
And that's what we're trying to do, Charles. That's the whole point of having these conversations, is to inform people of what's going on and know how to fight it.
Well, it sounds like subversion to me, because you're trying to take a duly elected person and change the rules so he can lose. That's what it seems like.
Change what rules so who can lose? Nobody loses. Everybody wins.
The other thing I wanted to tell you, was you're talking about this insurance. The reason they have to, everybody in the system, is you don't have people going to the emergency room, and we're paying for that anyway in our premiums. Medicare administrates at 3%, and insurance administrates at like 22 to 25%. And every industrialized nation in the country has full health care.
Anything else?
Pardon?
Anything else?
Well, I just like you to answer me. You know, you're
not even asking questions. You're calling in here and telling me that the Missouri tax burden is the same as Illinois.
Well, you're saying why they want all the people in for some money grab. The insurance company's the only one grabbing money.
Exactly, because Barack Obama created a system
Listen,
you want to call in this show and you want to tell me that you want an answer to your question. Here it comes, okay. Charles. Listen carefully. The Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare initiative, guaranteed insurance companies customers. They did not have to compete for our work anymore. We had to go to them. And if we didn't do it, Barack Obama penalized you and charged you money for not participating in his system. You take away the idea of competition from insurance companies, and you force people to go be customers. Nothing ever ends up working in favor of the customer when you set up a system like that. It's un-American. And you don't get it, Charles. You call in this show, and I'm going to call you out and tell everybody how you function on this show. Charles, you call in the show, you tell the call screener you want to talk about one thing, and then you come on here and you talk about something else. And you run your mouth and get in everything you can to criticize me, but the problem is you don't know what you're talking about. And you're talking to someone who does understand what she's talking about. I love my state, and you can see that I love my state because my address is still in the state of Illinois. And if I have anything to do with trying to make that state better because it deserves it, because it's my home, because my parents live on a farm that is a centennial farm that's been in the family for generations, that farmland doesn't pick up and move. And there are people who have businesses for generations in the state of Illinois. And you know what? Gosh dang it, people shouldn't have to get up and leave because the legislators aren't held to an accountability to run the state in a fiscally responsible way. If my income changes at home, if I incur debts in my home, I have to adjust. Why do the legislators in Illinois not have to adjust? It's because Mike Madigan, in his district in Chicago, gets elected time and time and time again because he does dirty tricks to try to get people out of races. He creates petitions with false names on them so that people can not even have legitimate races to try to challenge people who might possibly lose because the policies are so nasty. The Chicago way is real, Charles, and you don't understand that, and you don't care. That's why you call in the show and tell the call screener you're going to say one thing on the regular, and then come on the show and try to run your mouth about how I'm so ridiculously off the mark. You are wrong, and you don't understand that I don't care. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid to talk about these issues. I'm not afraid to defend myself. And I'm not afraid to defend Illinois from the overlording of far-left, progressive, corrupt policies. If you want to talk about a Democratic policy, some sort of healthcare initiative, and you want to talk about single payer, that's why I actually do respect Bernie Sanders, because every time he comes on a show or on a town hall of some sort, he talks about policies. I think his policies are loony, but he talks about policies. He has an idea of how he thinks he can make things better. I think it would make everything worse. He comes on and talks about how he can make things better. That's not how it works in Chicago. In Chicago, in the background, they cut people's legs out from underneath them so that the Chicago way will never, ever, ever be undermined. That's the way it works in the state of Illinois. That's why people are sick of being lorded over by Chicago. And that's why people are actually talking on national news about a new Illinois. Will it ever happen? I don't know. But that's why people are talking about it. We'll be back in a second.
Pale Amber Rose.
Just doing a little yoga here.
Feels like
that was awesome.
Trying to calm down a little bit. Today's a YouTube webcam kind of day.
Mm-hmm. You were on a roll.
Well, I looked at the clock and it was like 2:18. And I'm like, I could go for two more minutes.
See?
So I did.
I could do it.
Charles is so nuts. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
No.
And the thing that frustrates me is he calls a lot.
Yeah.
And he has a method. And I'm glad he listens. I know he does this to the other shows in the station. I'm glad he listens to 97.1. I don't know if any of this ever gets through to him, but I'm glad he listens. But you don't know what you're talking about. And if you just want to call in here to argue, go to the like local McDonald's and have coffee and just argue with people while they walk in. Like, I don't, if you're, you need to brush up on your facts.
So as I usually do when we're having a debate or an argument or something like that, you're doing your thing with Charles and I'm looking up some stats. And I was like, you know, here's some interesting stats. When Annie's done, I'll back up what she's saying by throwing some of this stuff in. You were never done. So I'll do it now. No, that was great. So Wallet Hub, the website Wallet Hub released the 2019 tax rates by state. They just did this in March of this year. They say that tax season can be stressful for the millions of Americans who owe money to Uncle Sam. Every year, the average U.S. household pays more than $7,800 in federal income taxes, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And while we're all faced with that same obligation, there is a significant difference when it comes to state and local taxes. Taxpayers in the most tax-expensive states, for instance, pay three times more than those in the cheapest states. And then they list them. They list all 50 states and the District of Columbia, with number one being the least taxed and number 51, because 50 states and the District of Columbia are the most taxed.
What's number one?
Alaska.
Dang it, that's a really far away. Can you get there on a U-Haul?
Missouri is 31. Which isn't great, a little bit past mid-pack. Illinois, 51.
Take that, Charles!
The number one or the, however you want to look at it, the either first place or last place, but the most taxed state. This is
the cliffs of insanity!
This is a little bit more than some people pay. And that argument of, well, people either lie, I don't know if he said like or not mind paying the taxes because they keep electing the same people. No. I don't think he knows how voting works. You don't vote because you like that. They keep electing Democrats in places like Chicago and in places like St. Louis because the Democrats have done a great job of convincing people that Republicans will take away their entitlements and they're going to make life worse. And so people vote for the Democrats because of those both social and economic issues. They don't vote because they enjoy paying taxes. Like, hey, I want to keep on paying these taxes, so we're going to keep voting these people in. That's not how it works.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Seriously? He said that. Yeah. They must not be paying taxes because they keep voting them in. No, that's not why they're voting them in. Yeah. They're voting them in because the Democrats have painted, sold these people a bill of goods that Republicans are bad for them. And they vote for all kinds of reasons, not because they like to be taxed.
Let's hear what Patty wants to respond to Charles. Patty, thanks for calling the show.
Hi.
Hello.
I just want to let him know for the great single-payer system that he thought, well, he was defending. I was in nursing school when Obamacare hit, and we were told flat out, if you didn't have health insurance, you're out.
Mm.
Or out of the program. So we had to get it. But me, myself, no kids, no anything, just by myself. I'm paying a little over $700 a month for just me for health insurance.
Yeah.
And because I'm a full-time student, I didn't make enough money to qualify for financial help.
Huh. You know, you would be the type of person who I think that Obama would have been trying to sell this to as a way to get your vote to help you as a student. And it's been a failure.
Absolutely. I would love to argue with him and let him pay my bill.
Me too.
He thinks it works so well.
Patty, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Let's get to Paul. Paul, thanks for calling the show.
Listen to you all the time, Annie. First time call.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for calling in.
I'm a fellow Southern Illinoiser.
Yeah, sorry.
I live a little south of you in St. Clair County, the second corrupt county.
St. Clair County doesn't have a lot of love from a lot of people who are listening to the show.
No. We travel a lot, and when people ask us where we're from, I always say I'm from Southern Illinois. I never say Illinois.
Yeah.
And my answer to all this is, why don't we in Southern Illinois get a petition, concede from the state? We start our own state. There's room on the flag for another star. We can make Vandalia the state capital of the new state of Southern Illinois like it was years and years ago.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what Brad Halbrook is trying to do, is create this new Illinois.
Yeah, but I would say Springfield North would be Illinois. We would be Southern Illinois. We break ties with everybody.
I feel like people are going to fight over who has to be with Chicago and who doesn't.
Well, they can have Chicago. We got East St. Louis, so we got, so.
Well, thank you for the call, okay, Paul. I appreciate it. And I'll say this. If East St. Louis had some... East St. Louis is such... It used to be. I love listening to people talk. Roger Wigington of Don Rogers Limited, which is a wonderful little clothing store in Belleville. I think the address is 6727 West Main, but I'm gonna make sure I know that before we go to the break. He talks about growing up in East St. Louis, and he talks about how, 6727 West Main in Belleville. He talks about growing up in East St. Louis and how it used to be this booming industry town and how it was really kind of a shining star. If we could actually employ some good fiscal responsible policies, you think about the location of East St. Louis and the access points, it could be a powerhouse. When we were at the Madison County Republicans Lincoln Day dinner, I was talking to several people at the Madison County Republicans who were talking about the powerhouse that East St. Louis could be if it were given a focus and a fighting chance. And you think about people who rely on business as usual with the way we run things. You can look on the Missouri side of the river here. You look at the depressed areas and you see the dilapidation of buildings and the poverty and the crime. Why is that never changing? And why is the representation in those areas always the same political party? And why is it that when we hear campaigns from people, especially the more local you get, on the Democratic side of the aisle, there's all these promises made in these campaigns on why you should elect the Democrat to represent you in these areas. The areas never change. The leadership never changes. The poverty stays and it grows and it expands and the crime grows and it expands. Let me ask you this. Name somebody this past year who's been shot in North City. Give me one name. One name of one person in North City that has lost their life due to the crime and the drugs and the poverty in that area. I bet you can't do it, because we don't pay attention to that type of stuff, because it's unfortunate and it's there. You know what we do? We just don't go to those places. Nobody's fixing it, and the leadership never changes. But then when the election time comes around, those people will make all sorts of promises on why the person on the Republican side of the aisle is the bad guy. It was like Tony was saying, they use scare tactics to say, you elect this person, they're going to take away this, they're going to take away that. I look at the way... Going into the 2016 election, President Trump said to the African-American community, what do you have to lose? The policies of the left, what they can guarantee you is status quo. And if you're living, in an impoverished area, whether it's a black or a white impoverished areas. I've seen plenty of white impoverished areas myself. I know where those areas are as well. It's not a race thing. But when you see the consistent leadership that exists, and it's a nationwide situation, you see that consistent leadership and they make all sorts of promises. How scary is it going to be if you were to just try something else? What do you have to lose? I mean, seriously, turn on the news tonight. See the crime that's happening. And I tell you what, the other sad thing is, it's hard to report on these stories so frequently, because the more they get reported on, the more they seem as though it's just standard fare. This is just the way things are in East St. Louis. This is just the way things are in North City. And it's tragic. Just like that eighth grader, that 14-year-old that got shot by a stray bullet at a party. And you know why we're talking about him? You know why he was in the news? Because he had been recruited for football. What about the children who are being shot in North City by stray bullets who weren't recruited to play football? I want every kid that loses their life in these crime-ridden, poverty-stricken areas to have as much attention as somebody who had a future playing a sport. We see a consistency in the way these places are run. You see a consistency. Go on the outside, I guess, is it the south side of Chicago? Impoverished, crime-ridden, gun crime-ridden. They've got all these gun laws. You elect these people on the left who, you know, you can look right now and see all these people running for president on the left are talking about gun confiscation. It's working really well in Chicago. It's ridiculous. Open your eyes, people. See what's there. And compare that to the fact that with the amount of people who have been murdered in the St. Louis area, the greater St. Louis area, anybody who can hear me right now, and they're nameless to us. Nothing changes. Nothing ever changes. Do we not care? Are those lives not valuable? We have to ask ourselves about the leadership that we have everywhere, especially in Illinois when it comes to fiscal issues, but on a humanitarian level, the crime that exists and the consistency in leadership. We could talk about Illinois corruption all day long, but I'm looking right here outside my window at the city of St. Louis. And if you can look at the county, at St. Louis County right now, there's a little bit of corruption going on there too. I just think that the people that are in Illinois have almost given up on anything changing in the future. And that is so sad, which is why when somebody says, what if we separate it from Chicago? People at least turn their heads. People look at that and go, no way, could never happen. But how would it happen if it could? Because it's home for people. And just like when Better Together was being discussed, whether you live in Florissant or Wildwood or wherever you live, your home is your home and you care about it and you want to fight for it. Which is why I will continue to do that here in the state of Illinois every chance I get. And when I leave Illinois, you'll know that I don't think there's any hope left. You take some more phone calls, 314-241-9797. As soon as we return, 314-241-9797. Toll free at 866-455-9797. We'll be right back. I wonder how Beyonce feels about...
I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm running for president.
Mm. I'm very independent.
Mm.
I mean, she buys everything she wants because she's earned it. Destiny's Child gets it. Why doesn't Bernie? Ugh. I don't want to talk about Illinois anymore.
Favorite Destiny's Child song?
Bootylicious.
Bootylicious. Done.
Yep. Easy. So great. Can you cue that up?
It's done.
Do you know Stevie Nicks is in the beginning of that video?
I did not.
Because it's her riff.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's in the very beginning of the Bootylicious video. She's playing the guitar.
Huh.
I just saw that in the last 6 months. Like, my life was changed. I don't care about Stevie Nicks, but I was a big... There you go. This is Bootylicious, right? You yep. See, are you videoing?
Yeah.
Is it Stevie?
Yep. Yep, she's... Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Can you handle this?
I don't think you can handle this.
Come on! It's a great song.
It's a great song. This was a good wedding.
Oh, I'm sure.
Wedding reception song.
Do you play it after they're two and three drinks in?
It's a later in the evening. It's not the very end of the night. This is like 2/3 of the way through, or 3/4 of the way through.
If you were to put a number on it, how many weddings have you DJed?
Not as many as you'd think, because I never did it full time. We only did it part time. So like our biggest couple of years, like when we were,
you had
really
a partnership
going
with somebody who, like, you did the floor and the microphone. Like,
yeah,
the,
and I he, always they, had it. Yeah, we it was me and a friend that we would do it together. Yeah, and he was more the tech guy, and I was more the talking guy. And I mean, I've done them by myself. I've done a handful by myself, but typically we did the two of us. Yeah, and the busiest we ever were. There was a couple of years there where we were probably doing 2 and 3 a month, almost every month. So it got a little bit crazy.
That'd be a great side
maybe
job.
Maybe 100 or so.
Did you enjoy it? Was it fun?
It was fun. And again, and because we didn't do it professionally, we only did it. We only did it word of mouth. Like,
you had connections to people.
Yeah, we would do weddings, and then, you know, somebody would be at that wedding that had another wedding coming up, and they had a lot of fun, and so they would, you know, reach out to us. So a lot of the weddings that we did, we had like some, at least some kind of personal connection to, like there were so-and-so's friend that was at this wedding that was, which kind of gave us a little bit of a built-in advantage because they felt like they knew us and, you know, that whole thing. But yeah, so yeah, I mean, there were definitely that some that we did that weren't fun.
That seems
they
to
weren't
be,
always fun, like but they the, were majority for
the me. Job that you have that, like, oh, I got to work Saturday night, I can't go. But once you're there, it's like, it's a party.
And the money. It's such a good... Anything connected to the wedding industry, just like cash anything cow? Connected to the baby industry, is just...
You know why?
Lucrative, yeah.
Because people are spending emotionally.
I mean,
not intelligently, necessarily.
Yeah, we would charge... You know, this has been... It's been years since we were doing this, but... So, 10 years ago, we would charge... $600, $700 maybe for a wedding. And we were like the cheapest guys in town.
Sure.
People loved it. Oh my God, $600. That's incredible.
For a nice work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you have everything,
that would just be such a fun job.
Do you want to hear some of the things that people say I should put on my sunburn? I've been sourcing these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vinegar.
Right. Mm.
Some people said white vinegar. Lots of people swear by that. Aloe, that's obvious.
Yeah.
Shaving cream with menthol.
I could see that.
Coconut oil, peppermint oil. That suggestion came through and said, at least at the end, you'll smell like Christmas. Which is better than smelling like vinegar. And this one, yogurt.
Okay. Just because
it's cold? Is the dairy?
I mean,
I could think, of other things I'd want to rub on my shoulders than yogurt.
Ice cream.
So cold. Yeah,
I mean, it sounds like people are just saying cold
slap it on your shoulders.
How about some mayonnaise?
Yeah,
mustard,
sour cream.
Someone said,
I think it's something.
It's
with
not
the
like
dairy.
An auction where
cottage cheese. It is like saying cold stuff.
Yeah. Except for when it's not cold anymore, and then it's gross, like warm yogurt.
Ooh, cottage cheese. Oh,
my sister-in-law. This is so
ketchup.
That has vinegar in it, so that might actually be...
There you go.
My sister-in-law, which is really funny, at church, came up. She goes, oh, Annie! And then she stuck her finger out and pushed on my sunburn. She goes, oh my gosh, I don't know why I just did that. It didn't hurt. I mean, any more than I was hurting already, it didn't bother. I just laughed. But like, it was so red that she couldn't help but reach out and just put her finger in it. And then immediately, like before her finger had stopped contacting me, she's like, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I did that. It's not
some yogurt on your back.
It's not good.
Mild salsa.
Oh wow. No. My son, we on Friday, I don't remember which night it was.
Mild.
We ordered some Papa John's, I think it was, and we got some chicken wings, and they were buffalo chicken wings, and I told my son I'd let him have a piece of candy if he tried a buffalo wing. He didn't have anything that spicy, and he ate it. And his eyes got as big as saucers, and he ran and got some milk, and then he sat down, and he's like, that was really good, can I have another one? And it was like wash, rinse, repeat for every punishing chicken wing. It's funny to see a nine-year-old have something like that for the first time. Do you still have that Nike story pulled up?
I do.
So I came across this article earlier, and I read a little bit about it, but you were reading more about a Nike sponsorship.
Yes, Nike to change pregnancy policy for athletes and contracts after backlash over freezing pay. So how this all started was Olympic athlete Alicia Montau said in a New York Times op-ed published on Mother's Day that when she was approached by Nike about her plans to start a family in the midst of her career, the company said it would pause on her contract and stop paying her while she was pregnant. Which is
not cool.
Not great.
Yeah.
Nike was criticized last week after several female athletes said the same thing. They stopped paying them under their sponsorship deal while they were pregnant and immediately after they gave birth.
This doesn't make sense to me. The PR, like, I would think that Nike could continue to sponsor a female athlete that's pregnant and advertise
it. Because they're not
it.
Currently competing? Is that the reason?
This Olympic runner ran pregnant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She ran pregnant.
Didn't the article say that she wanted to start a family and she consulted with Nike about that?
Mm-hmm. And then they were like, "Well, we're going to have to pause your contract." That's exactly what she said. She spoke with them about starting to plan her family, and they said, "Well, we're going to pause your contract and we're going to stop paying her while she was pregnant."
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I think. I just don't like. I think forget about the like women's rights issues that could absolutely be discussed with that particular situation, but like Nike. This is a marketing opportunity. If you're going to put out stand for something, if that means sacrificing everything with Colin Kaepernick, slap a Nike swoosh on that pregnant belly and tell the world that you're supporting women when you do this. Like, I don't understand why they would be opting out of this and the PR back. Like, to me, just like, even makes if you're saying sense. We're doing this because she's not competing and it wouldn't be a smart financial decision, I'm saying make it something and it would be a smart financial decision.
Especially in this day and age.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. I have lots of tweets at Annie Fry Show. Brad says, Annie, perhaps you should forward some of those burn remedies from Facebook to Charles because you absolutely roasted him.
Throw some
chocolate
yogurt at him.
Milk.
Oh. I've been trying to think of cold things this whole time and I can't think of one.
Just imagine looking in your fridge or your freezer.
That's what I've been doing. I'm like, and then Tony says mild salsa, and I get confused again.
Well, mild salsa isn't cold. It's not hot either because it's mild.
If you keep it in the refrigerator.
If you keep it in the fridge after you open it.
Anything is cold if you put it in the fridge.
Mm-hmm. Ice water.
Got a minute. We can talk about for a minute.
Bernie Sanders.
I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm running for president.
We love you could put on up. Aloe vera. I hear it works very well on a sunburn.
Did we post the Schwarzenegger video?
We have not yet.
Can
nope,
we do that?
I can do that. Mm-hmm.
Arnold Schwarzenegger got drop kicked
drop
by some.
Kicked.
It is an insane attack. He and as Katie reported in the 12 o'clock hour, he's not pressing charges, but can we put that up there? Because
yes.
The video is nuts.
And it's 3 minutes long. The build up to it is
and
what makes me
when
anxious.
When you sneak attack somebody from behind
the Terminator
and you go with a drop kick as your move.
Airborne drop kick. And Joe Biden at that rally putting his hands on that woman and she takes them both and removes them. It's like the same news every day.
Perhaps some honey mustard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.